Welcome to Audit IQ Update for July 8th, 2026. I'm your host, Alex, and as always, we'll be delving into the world of monitoring for e-commerce merchants, covering every aspect from technical, operational, to sales, and more. Let's get into it. We've got a packed week to cover with some genuinely significant developments across the e-commerce ecosystem. I want to start with Shopify because they shipped two updates on Monday that I think represent a meaningful shift in how automation reliability works on the platform, and the implications for monitoring are really interesting. So here's the background. Shopify Flow is the automation engine that powers a huge amount of behind-the-scenes e-commerce operations, order routing, inventory alerts, fraud checks, customer segmentation, loyalty triggers, the kind of workflows that merchants set up once and then rely on to just work. The problem has been that when app developers made changes to their action configurations, say adding a new required field or removing an old one, those changes were treated as breaking changes. Shopify's runtime validation would fail, the request would never reach the partner's server, and the merchant's workflow would just silently die. Think about that for a moment. A shipping app adds a priority field to their action schema, and suddenly every merchant workflow that uses that action stops working. No notification to the merchant, or no graceful fallback. Just a dead workflow and orders not getting routed. What Shopify has done now is fundamentally change that behavior. Instead of blocking the request, Shopify sends it through to the partner server, regardless of schema mismatches. The server then decides how to handle the differences. Maybe it applies a sensible default for the missing field, ignores a deprecated field, or returns an error if it truly can't process the request. The workflow keeps running. The second change is equally important. Runtime URLs now resolve dynamically on every execution. Previously, the URL was hard-coded into the workflow when it was activated. If a developer changed the URL, merchants had to manually resave their workflows to pick up the change. Now it's automatic. This might sound like a small quality of life improvement, but for merchants running dozens or hundreds of flow automations, it eliminates an entire class of silent failures. Now, here's where it gets interesting from a monitoring perspective. In the old world, a broken workflow at least created a visible failure, something you could potentially catch in error logs. In the new world, the workflow executes successfully, but it might produce subtly wrong results. A default value might not match the merchant's intent. An ignored field might have carried important context. You've traded hard failures for soft failures, which in many ways are harder to detect. This is exactly why real user monitoring matters so much. When a workflow produces the wrong outcome, the impact shows up downstream in the customer experience. Wrong shipping options presented, missing personalization, broken order confirmation emails. You need monitoring that watches the real customer experience, not just the technical execution of individual systems. Let me pivot to WooCommerce, which had a notable week as well. On July 3rd, WooCommerce shipped version 10.9.3, a dot release that fixes a fatal error caused by filters on the WC email class. Now, a fatal error in the email system might not sound dramatic, but if you think about what e-commerce emails do, order confirmations, shipping notifications, password resets, a fatal error there means customers aren't getting the transactional communications they expect. And in many cases, merchants don't realize it's happening until customers start contacting support, asking where their order confirmation is. This is actually part of a broader story with WooCommerce 10.9, which launched on June 23rd. The 10.9 release brought some really meaningful improvements. Performance enhancements specifically targeting checkout and dashboard operations, a polish pass on the admin UI, and this is the one I'm most excited about, transactional email logging built directly into WooCommerce Core. That last feature means merchants can now see whether emails were actually sent without relying on third-party plugins or SMTP service dashboards. It's a real step forward for operational visibility. But here's the thing. The fact that WooCommerce needed three dot releases in the 10 days after 10.9.0 launched, 10.9.1 on June 24th, 10.9.2 and 10.9.3, both on July 3rd, tells you something about the complexity of the WordPress and WooCommerce ecosystem. Each release fixed issues that the previous one either introduced or didn't catch. Interface changes breaking third-party compatibility, push notification defaults needing correction, and this email class fatal error. For merchants running WooCommerce stores, each of those dot releases represents a window where something might have been broken in production. Now let me turn to what I think is the most alarming story of the week, and it comes from the security side. Sansec, the e-commerce security research firm, published findings on a WebRTC-based payment skimmer that is genuinely clever and genuinely frightening. Let me explain why. Most e-commerce security controls, particularly content security policy headers, work by controlling which domains a page can communicate with. If your CSP is properly configured, a skimmer that tries to send stolen card data to an attacker-controlled domain should be blocked. It's one of the fundamental defenses against mage cart-style attacks. This new skimmer completely sidesteps that defense. Instead of using HTTP requests to communicate, it uses WebRTC data channels, a peer-to-peer communication protocol that operates outside the scope of content security policy. The skimmer receives its payload via WebRTC and exfiltrates stolen payment data the same way. From the CSP's perspective, nothing unusual is happening. From the merchant's monitoring perspective, the page loads normally, the checkout works correctly, and no security alerts fire. Sansec reported this skimmer targeting e-commerce sites by exploiting something called a polyshell vulnerability in Magento and Adobe Commerce, and the numbers are sobering. It hit 56.7% of targeted stores. The attack was documented across March 2026 and beyond. For e-commerce merchants, this is a critically important development because it challenges some fundamental assumptions about security monitoring. If you're relying on CSP to prevent data exfiltration, you now have a documented technique that bypasses it entirely. If you're monitoring HTTP traffic for suspicious outbound connections, you're looking at the wrong protocol. Detecting this kind of attack requires monitoring at the browser level, watching what's actually happening in real user sessions, which is another argument for comprehensive real user monitoring rather than purely server-side security controls. Let me shift gears to the broader industry picture, because there's a really interesting convergence of data points this week that paint a clear picture of where e-commerce performance monitoring stands in 2026. The number that's been getting attention is $47 billion. That's the estimated annual global revenue leakage from payment failures alone, according to research from Optimus Technologies. Well, not cart abandonment broadly, which is a much larger number. Just payment failures. Roughly 1 in 5 e-commerce transactions fail globally. And remember, this is only the failures at the payment stage, the ones where a customer has already decided to buy, entered their details, and then something goes wrong. It doesn't count the customers who left before getting that far because of slow page loads, JavaScript errors, or broken checkout flows. This connects directly to the Core Web Vitals data we're seeing in 2026, which continues to build the case that performance isn't just a nice to have. It's a direct revenue lever. The research is compelling. A 100 millisecond improvement in mobile page load time can boost retail conversion rates by up to 8.4%. A 1 second delay reduces conversions by 7%. One case study showed that improving largest contentful paint from 4.2 seconds to 1.8 seconds delivered a 214% increase in mobile conversions. The shift to interaction to next paint, INP, as a core web vital has been particularly significant for e-commerce. INP measures how responsive a page is to user interactions, clicks, taps, keyboard input. For e-commerce, this captures the moments that matter most. Does the Add to Cart button respond instantly? Does the size selector feel snappy? When a customer clicks Place Order, do they get immediate feedback or do they sit there wondering if it registered and potentially clicking again? Shopify, to their credit, has been investing heavily in this area. Their Web Performance Tools blog post for 2026, published on their performance portal, outlines a toolkit that includes real user data, AI-powered analysis, Chrome DevTools integration, and programmatic access via GraphQL. Their built-in web performance dashboard now captures actual interactions from real users, giving merchants a meaningful picture of how their stores perform in the wild. But as we discussed with the flow automation changes, page-level performance is only part of the story. The full picture requires connecting performance data to error data to business outcomes. On the front-end development side, there were a couple of interesting pieces this week that have direct relevance for e-commerce. CSS Tricks covered the upcoming CSS border shape property, which extends the shape-making capabilities that arrived with the shape, function, and corner shape property. For e-commerce sites, new CSS capabilities mean new design possibilities, but also new potential for layout issues across different browsers and devices. More directly relevant was Smashing Magazine's piece on Grid Lanes accessibility, published on July 2nd. Grid Lanes, also known as CSS Masonry, is the newly standardized layout mode that e-commerce sites are rapidly adopting for product grids and category pages. The article highlights a significant concern. Grid Lanes layouts can easily fail WCAG 2.4.3 focus order requirements. In plain terms, the visual order of items in a masonry grid may not match the DOM order, which means keyboard users and screen reader users experience the content in a different, potentially confusing, sequence. For e-commerce product grids, this isn't just an accessibility compliance issue. It's a usability issue that affects conversion. If a customer navigating by keyboard tabs through products in an unexpected order, or if a screen reader presents products in a sequence that doesn't match what sighted users see, that's a broken experience for a significant portion of your audience. And it's the kind of issue that won't show up in a lighthouse audit if the layout technically renders correctly. Practical eCommerce published their weekly new tools roundups on July 1st and July 7th, and the pattern that jumps out is the acceleration of agentic commerce, AI-powered tools that make decisions and take actions on behalf of merchants and customers. And we're seeing new services for autonomous deliveries, AI-driven product image generation, logistics optimization, and one-click checkout. Each of these integrations adds capability, but also complexity. More third-party scripts, more API calls, more potential points of failure. For monitoring, this trend means the attack surface for performance and reliability issues is growing faster than most teams' ability to watch it. When you add a new AI-powered product recommendation widget, you're adding a script that makes API calls, manipulates the DOM, and potentially affects layout and interactivity. All things that can degrade core web vitals and introduce errors that only manifest for certain user segments. At the platform level, the Dynatrace Perform 2026 conference highlighted enhanced real user monitoring capabilities that combine front-end telemetry with back-end context. This push toward unified observability, connecting what happens in the browser with what happens on the server, reflects the industry's recognition that e-commerce monitoring needs to be holistic. You can't understand the customer experience by looking at only one layer of the stack. Now let me bring this all together because I think there's a clear theme emerging from this week's developments. E-commerce platforms are getting more resilient. Shopify is making flow automations more tolerant of change. WooCommerce is adding operational visibility features like email logging directly into core. Magento 2.4.9, which landed in May with over 500 bug fixes and PHP 8.5 support, represents a major investment in clearing technical debt. But resilience without visibility is a trap. A system that keeps running when something goes wrong is only valuable if you can tell the difference between running correctly and running incorrectly. And as the WebRTC skimmer story demonstrates, there are now attack vectors that are specifically designed to operate within the normal appearance of a functioning system. The stores that will thrive in this environment are the ones that invest in monitoring that mirrors the complexity of their operations. Real user monitoring that watches actual customer sessions, connects technical events to business outcomes, and surfaces the issues that matter most, not just the ones that are easiest to detect. That's the approach we take at Audit IQ. Continuous monitoring of the real e-commerce experience, from page load to checkout completion, with every technical issue connected to its revenue impact. Because in a world where one in five transactions fail and silent errors are the new normal, visibility isn't optional. It's your competitive advantage. That's your Audit IQ update for July 8th, 2026. If any of this sparked a question or you want to learn more about e-commerce monitoring, you can find us at Audit IQ Cloud. We'll be back next week. Until then, keep monitoring.